Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here is your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to Jaybird Watching. I am your host, Craig Boren. Joined with me, as always, Jason Lyons. How are we doing from the other side of the country, my friend?
You know what, buddy? This dark at 5 o'clock thing, I'm starting to get a little sick of already. You know, my boys had 5 or 6 a.m. hockey practice this morning, so you're up in the pitch black.
God. And then you didn't see it at the end of the day either. You get done working and it's like,
it's unbelievable. So on the plus side of things, though, there's lots of baseball fun stuff going on. My mustache is coming in like a champ. And
David Schneider.
I'm a couple of weeks away from going to Maui. So, I mean, plus around here.
There you go. Run away from that wonderful north weather there for you for a couple of weeks, huh?
Well, look at the color of my skin, honestly. I'm like drywall. Like,
yeah,
like one of the Munsters.
There it is. Yeah, it's not just a black and white picture, everybody.
It's no, really it's not.
So, as another person that is joining our fellowship here on Jaybird Watching, Eric the Heck is with us this evening. How are we doing, my friend?
Well, right now I'm insanely jealous of Jason going to Maui. So there's that. But I it's good to be back. And Craig, happy belated American Thanksgiving.
Thank you, sir.
I'm very curious. I'm actually curious. What does a Craig Borden Thanksgiving look like? Are you do you do the traditional stuff or do you do things out of the box?
So my whole family lives in within about 15 minutes of each other around Rochester, New York here, except for my brother and my one cousin. So, and they're in Buffalo and Albany. So they're still here in New York State. We all congregate right around here in Rochester, have a fun time, but it is just a big, you know, family get together. We start with just our families, well, our wife, spouses, kids, and all that kind of stuff. Then we migrate from that one family to somebody's house to inevitably just eat desserts and drink and yell at each other. That's what families do.
So you do like a house crawl kind of thing, kind of like a pub crawl, it's but you're going to houses.
Food crawl.
Yep, it's kind of the idea.
Okay, so
I think the point is we all live in the suburbs and none of our families are rich enough to have a big enough house for all of us to actually fit in anymore and have a meal sitting down. So hence the reason, you know, that I'm, you know, Yuengling is brewed in Pennsylvania. So it's like five, you know, nothing for a case of it here. So I don't have to exactly dumpster dive for Coors, but.
So do you, does everybody sit on the couch and watch football or do you go out and play football?
Depends. Right now I'm not playing no football because my shoulder doesn't like to like stay attached to my body right now if I actually threw anything. Right. There's this whole like tear of my labrum underneath my shoulder here. So unfortunately not, but this year it was rainy, disgusting, and everything here. So we didn't really do a lot this year outside. But okay, you're not wrong. That's the usual. Go out and just goof around and have some fun.
Nice. So I just have this vision of you and your father and your father-in-law and all your other family members just sitting on the couch drinking beer and watching the Detroit Lions and the Cowboys and the Thursday night match as well.
And then watching the Bills and throw rocks.
And then watching the worst game.
Cowboy fan on. I mean, as an aside, like I don't think we should dive into that deep hole, but holy, is that the worst call in a couple of years of football that went on? Like, come on. Like,
who's
I don't know. I don't want to believe the NFL script stuff, but I mean, that sure looked like somebody else wanted that game to happen that way.
Yeah, exactly. But on that note, we also know that there's certain umpires that can't get anything right in the baseball season either. So maybe it's just that. Yep. Angel Hernandez.
Yeah.
And just for you, Eric, It is a family laugh. So my family reunions and stuff and get togethers are very amusing. My whole dad's side of the family has my chuckle.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, so who's the comedian? Like, is that you or is that a sibling or?
It's usually me and my father. My uncle's pretty damn highly ranking on that one too, but I'd say the three of us would make a good stand-up act if we actually, you know, could actually put an act together. We're more of this kind of thing. You got to feed off everybody. And it just makes it comical. So it's a blend of just stupid movie quotes from the 90s. And it's a fun time.
That's beautiful. The best.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah. Awesome.
Exactly. So let's dive into the good time that has been the rumor mill, boys. There is so much that we get to unfold and talk out this evening. Let's talk with a couple of things that actually are solid at this point in Major League Baseball. The one I want to talk on first is the fact that Sonny Gray is somehow worth $75 million for three seasons to join the Cardinals, correct?
Yeah. They picked up somebody else as well. I mean, they're just looking for inning eaters, right? Like Sonny Gray's a great inning eater. That's a lot of money to pay for somebody who's just going to eat innings for you. But
Framber Valdez was one, Zach Eflin. There's a lot of guys that they're just stumbling into here.
I mean,
now they got
Lance Lynn. That's who I was thinking. The Cards management says that that's what they wanted to get done. They wanted to get in there before the cupboard was bare. They're not making, you know, these aren't the Sonny Gray ones are a pretty decent move, but they're not offsetting the.
If you look at somebody that's been surprisingly consistent over the last 3 years, though, it's
Sonny Gray.
Oddly, Sonny Gray. Yeah. And the Blue Jays ran into him in the first round of the playoffs here, and obviously he was one of the main reasons that we didn't stick around. I won't go into the other obvious reasons why we didn't stick around that were self-inflicted as Blue Jays fans, but that's besides the point. Sonny Gray pitched great in the postseason, and he's looked great since he left New York.
Yeah, he got his bag. He got his bag. Yeah. There's if they're willing to pony up, hey, who's going to say no to that?
Yep. Outside of that, boys, there's
and that's the silly thing sometimes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying that's kind of the silly thing sometimes because the precedence is set early for somebody who, I mean, you know, that's a lot of dough. But I mean, what's he worth? Is he worth $20 million? Is that much difference when you're talking about that kind of, you know, life changing money or you know, is he worth 15? I don't think he's worth that low. But so I mean, maybe he is a $25 million guy. I mean,
Look at the landscape for pitchers too. He's definitely one of the best ones on the market. That's the other catch. So he had that in his favor to be able to go with. And like I said, consistency has been key since he left New York. Outside of 2020, which was already a shortened season to begin with, he's thrown 175 innings, 56 innings, 135, 119, and 184 last year. He was an all-star twice that time frame. So with never an ERA above where I just lost it. He only had one season that he was above four in those seasons, and that
was pretty darn good.
2020.
Yeah, pretty darn good.
So at that point, I guess that's what you pay for a guy that somehow managed to finish second in the Cy Young Award this year. Yeah. I thought that was a little odd. Over Goss, but what do I know? Apparently, I'm an expert.
Yeah, I know. And I guess Lance Lynn was, they were saying he's had an incredibly high strikeout ratio for the last couple of years as well. Like and strike ratio, he throws a ton of strikes. So, I mean,
And he's a guy that St. Louis is familiar with. So that one does not shock me one bit. He's played there before. Lance Lynn is a bulldog of all ways of saying it on the mound. He's going to find a way to eat up 100 innings easy. And he's done that his whole career. He is getting on in age, but for a one-year flyer, while the Cardinals are hoping to compete and build a little bit here at the same time, it's not a bad move.
Nope.
Bringing him in to be their fourth or fifth guy.
Yeah, and the Cardinals had a really rough season, and that was kind of one of the big surprises of the year. So they've been the fact that they got in on Gray doesn't surprise me because I've been hearing a lot of rumors involving them, even rumors involving our team with making deals with them, since they seem to be a very frequent trade partner with us.
Mm-hmm. Bird thing, you know.
Yeah, bird thing.
I think you were talking about that actually this past week, Jason, with the fact that you would love to steal somebody in the name of Tyler O'Neill. There was another gentleman you were talking about. In that.
Yeah, there's a couple of sort of dud Cardinals that have had very high expectations and have floundered for the last couple of seasons. And
Dylan Carstens and Lars Nubar, who's who we were.
Yeah, Nubar was the other one. there's opportunity out there to snag a few. I was actually, I took a bit of a dive into the internet can really suck you down when you take 15 minutes of your time and dip your toe in the water. But it's interesting when you go see sort of past the Bellingers and, the big trade talks to some of those guys that are just below the surface. And there's some familiar faces, but there's also some pretty juicy targets out there that I didn't realize might be, available. We'll dig our toes into a few of these ones here. Let's go.
Yeah. And now those are the kind of the big ones, I think, for as far as what I've seen out there. But let's talk some of these Blue Jays rumors that's been talking about. And let's just start with the elephant in the room, because I think this speaks to the what the hell are we going to get this offseason level. If there's even any realm of reality to this, is the fact that Blue Jays fans over the last few weeks have been hearing that, quote unquote, Bo Bichette has been linked in a few trade talks, mostly with the Cubs and the Los Angeles Dodgers. I wasn't really taking this with a grain of salt. I didn't think there was anything really to this fire at all. This figures was typical offseason kind of BS. But now this is one of those things that isn't going away. And I usually, when these rumors come up and they're really nothing to them at all, they're in, they're out, and they move on to the next thing. I'm starting to seriously wonder if the Blue Jays are indeed dangling their superstars in their core that are on this team currently because of whatever fears I are of maybe extending them eventually. Maybe they just think they can increase this window past 2 years by grabbing certain players. I don't know what it is, but what do you think, Eric, about the fact that the Blue Jays had been dangling, quote unquote, Bo Bichette for that upside?
First of all, let me just say how much I hate Twitter. And the reason why, one of the many reasons why I hate Twitter, or sorry, X. Yes, thank you, Jason. Sorry,
no problem. I get paid every time I do that, so I have to do it.
Zoltan.
I'm sure Elon is watching, so Elon, very sorry about that. But listen, one of the reasons why is one of these tiny little breadcrumbs of a rumor, and people see it, and they just blow it out of proportion. And it also drives me crazy how people will see something and they will just jump to conclusion and they will react. There's no one wants to take a breath and let it simmer and then give their two cents. Everyone's got to get out that hot take right away.
I like the guys that have enough time to make Bo Bichette in a Cubs jersey. Like, what's right. That guy's regular day like where he's just sitting there staring at Twitter until something happens? He's like, Mom, I got to get the Photoshop going. Come on.
Yeah, and it's a race against time because there's probably there's at least 20 million others that are trying to do that as quickly as they can. But you know what?
I miss the days when Cut4's Twitter account and everything used to just literally in Microsoft Paint, draw the weird hat on them. And then those are the ones I miss. I would actually rather have the cartoon character than I would rather have somebody taking all that OCD anal retentive time to make the actual jersey of Shohei Ohtani or somebody in a Blue Jay uniform, for example. Like you said, it boggles my mind. I don't have that kind of free time.
It's just madness on Twitter and social media when it comes to these rumors. I think I was reading Andrew Stoughton's Substack today, and I think he brought up a really good point. Bo is coming up to the end of his contract, and what a lot of teams do is that they will call other teams and just say, hey, hypothetically, if we were to offer you Bo Bichette, what would you give us in return? They're just trying to figure out what his value would be. In case A, they're going to sign him to a long term and just sort of compare and contrast, or B, the window of opportunity might be closing. They're not going to re-sign him. So hey, let's see what we can get. I think it would be absolutely ridiculous if they traded him right now. The window of opportunity is wide open, and if you're going to consider trading Bo, you have to wait till at least next year when he's entering that final year of the contract. It's way too soon to be considering that. This isn't like Donaldson in 2018, where, you know, he wasn't going to come back for that rebuild. And if he stayed healthy, I'm pretty sure they would have gotten a king's ransom. And it's not like Stroman in 2019, where, you know, you're going to get the best of Marcus Stroman on your team, but it's going to be during a rebuild. It just doesn't make sense to keep him. So you trade Marcus Stroman. But with Bo, it, you know, you can't trade him now, especially when you're pouring millions of dollars into stadium renovations. And it would just send a terrible, terrible message.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
couldn't agree more.
Yeah, never say never, but I can't envision a world where that's happening.
I think that's part of it.
So you're in the more myth than reality.
Yeah, it's a rumor. Right, rumor. Yeah, emphasize on the rumor part too.
You make a great point. Like, you never know what's going to... I imagine there has been trades that have happened where a GM has called a GM and said, even in jest, hey, what about this? And the other GM says, well, I'll give you this, this, and this. And they were like, oh, that's way more than I expected. And we're big on this guy and big on this guy. And boom. And, you know, go change your uniform. So it's, I don't know. There's a lot of fishing expeditions that are going right now. And I 100% agree with you. I wish at some level... The some of the rumors are fun, like, you know, the watching that Pete Alonso Vladdy one come up, like, you know, I've been an advocate all off season of getting rid of Vladdy. I think his trade value is high.
Yeah, you've been that guy about trading Vladdy.
I feel like if this is the time, if you're gonna get anything, if you're gonna get decent return on Vladdy, this is the time to do it. Because I mean, you know, he didn't have the greatest year, but the home run derby is very flashy. And you know, he was okay defensively, but the home run derby was very flashy. So, I mean, there's still, you know, cachet to maybe catch a couple of good players from him. And, I mean, we have players that can play first base, and there's opportunity to maybe look for some other guys that play first base. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Vladdy would be DeMar DeRozan.
There is some fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but on the Bo Bichette thing, if you, in those hypothetical trades, what are you looking for if you are trading basically the star on this team right now? Because, like, we all love Vladdy and everything, but if you look at performance and everything, Bo Bichette has been the catalyst of a lot of things for this team, especially playing a, you know, good shortstop, which will be hard to find if we ended up losing him. Things like that. Are you only getting prospects? Are you getting major league ready? Are you getting a bunch of major league ready guys? Give me your MLB The Show pitch on what you're looking for on the
Eric Hugo first
for somebody like
Bo. Oh my god, I was hoping so.
Oh, do you want to sit? I can go.
Do you want me to give you one that I read this morning that Fire. I was actually, this ain't so bad, but I definitely am not doing it still. But it's definitely not, in my opinion, out of the ballpark if this ended up landing with the Cubs. So it was Christopher Morel, Owen Casey, and Cade Horton from the Cubs. And Christopher Morel's a turning into a star level player for the Cubs, but he's definitely on the team control side.
Yeah.
I mean, but if those other guys, upside.
Yeah, massive. If it's me, that's what you've got to be looking at. You have to be looking at massive upside. Like, you have to be looking at, you know, a pitcher, be it a starter or middle, that will be a game changer for you. Like someone who you insert and is automatically just smashing guys. And then you've got to look for probably two young, whether they're established or just getting established, guys. It's hard. I mean, that's one of those ones, like when we were talking about some of the big trades from yesteryear. I mean, it gets hard because you want return. You want to, but you also don't want to bring three guys back that maybe total out, you know, way more salary than Bo was going to get when you have the pieces around Bo to already make, you know, there's no value in that for the team. So I don't know, man. It's a messy one. There's a few guys I can see, like Espy, I can see trading. Vladdy, I can see trading. You know, past that, it gets a little dicey to get proper return.
Mm-hmm. And just to give you a little gauging on where those other two guys in that ballpark in that Cubs trade fall, in case you're not educated. Like I had to look into too, because I didn't know this until I read this article. Cade Horton is the number four prospect in the Cubs organization, and he is quote unquote their best pitching prospect. So you're getting that guy. You're getting Morrell, who is a outfielder, played a lot more DH last year because there's just no room in that outfield when the Cubs had, you know, Cody Bellinger still in that outfield last year. Maybe they're thinking trade him and bring somebody back. You know, I don't know. And then the other one is a second baseman, and they already have Nico Horn. So that guy's blocked from getting to the majors. So these are two major league-ish ready guys and a guy that's currently playing in the major leagues.
Yeah, you got to trade for me, you got to trade stud for stud. As I said, the window of opportunity is open right now. And you know, if you're getting prospects – if you want to get prospects, that's great. But remember, as much as we all focus on prospects, they're crapshoots at the end of the day. And no offense, Craig, the gentleman who lived and breathed prospects for Jay's Journal. But you know what? It's where they are right now, where the franchise is at right now. And that window of opportunity is wide open. And, you know, if you want to get prospects, that's a sign that you're regressing. And this team should not be in a state of accepting regression. They need to be moving forward. And, you know, I brought up DeMar DeRozan. There was a reason for that. They needed something to push them over the edge. They sacrificed DeMar. The Raptors did. They got Kawhi, and it paid off very, very well.
Yeah.
That's the type of trade you're going to make if you want to trade Vladdy or Bo.
For sure.
I just was trying to give you that ranking of where you could shoot at there. But at the end of the day, I think you are 100% correct. And I think trading a shortstop in today's current landscape is a bad idea. I just think right now, one way or the other, I love Aralvis Martinez and I love Addison Barger. I really do. But are they going to come in and be a star for you at shortstop? Or is Santiago Espinal going to be your everyday shortstop? You could make Davis Schneider the shortstop, but I don't think he has the arm to stick there a long time. So you're really, really toying with things if you're not getting a shortstop in return, which if you're trading Bo Bichette, why would you even be having that conversation?
Well, and I think that in a lot of those scenarios where they are, you know, where if they were looking, you know, to trade Bo, most of those teams will be looking to move him to third, I think, rather than playing him at short. I think that his value for those teams that are out there is that they would, he's got the arm and the capability to play short. And I think that's what you would see, but
isn't that what they were talking about with the Dodgers trade? They would move him to move him from short to third.
Yes.
I feel like that's what they were talking about.
Yeah. The Cubs rumor as well had them playing, had him at third base, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is that something the Blue Jays toy with? I don't think it's broke. Don't fix it right now.
But you can find a third baseman. There's third baseman out there. You can find anything.
I think we have two good, those same two gentlemen that I said are shortstops. I think Aralvis Martinez is a great looking defensive third baseman. Mm-hmm. And if he does anything like he did last year, popping home runs, that's a spark plug at the bottom of the lineup. I really think that third base is solved internally this year, but the other rumors that we keep hearing, there is nothing about third base in any of those rumors. Other than if you don't sign Matt Chapman, it's just like, just don't worry about it. Just move on.
Yeah.
And I personally think they'd be overbuying on Matt Chapman, a guy that batted after May last year, 208 for the rest of the season.
Yeah. The Matt Chapman rumor was very interesting when they said, oh, the Blue Jays have a big interest in re-signing him. I think that was one of the rumors that an agent put out there just to drive up the market. Like hypothetically, Scott Boras is probably like, I'd really like Matt to go to the Yankees. Well, okay, maybe he's not saying I'd like to, but let's say the Yankees provide an offer. And it's a pretty good offer, but Scott's thinking, you know what? I want to get a lot of money for my client. I was just trying to be humble Scott Boras, actually. That was my humble Scott Boras.
I'm trying to help the Blue Jays I'm going to give you a bajillion dollars for a third baseman that bats 200 and has amazing defense. Just to say that, exactly. I love John McDonald, too, a million years ago, but I didn't need him in my lineup every day.
But you know what? But still, like,
I know Boras, he's a lot better player than...
He's probably saying, you know what? I think the Yankees can give us more. So I'm going to put out this little bit of a rumor that the Blue Jays have are very interested in bringing him back. And then Brian Cashman hears that and says, okay, maybe we got to step up our game as well. So I think I think that was more of a sort of manufactured rumor.
Yeah, so I agree. I would say that 85% of the rumors right now are manufactured. Like it's agents fishing, and it's agents trying to just stir the pot, and it makes it so that, I mean, it's tough to keep it all straight, but you know, it is kind of the fun part of the season, right? Like, I mean, you've got, and you know, it speaks back to our Twitter issue. You can throw anything on the wall, see what sticks.
Mm-hmm. It's the silly season.
To that point, there are certain people I do trust more than others, even in that ballpark. And so many of these things we've already talked about today feel very much like a John Heyman move to me on Twitter. We're just gonna throw this out here. Good luck, deal with it. He's notorious for doing that, and he drives me nuts for it. But when you start reading things like Ken Rosenthal constantly saying the Blue Jays are linked to Shohei Ohtani and showing him around and stuff, there's, I'm not going to say the door is wide open for that opportunity, but there's a glimmer, right? There is at least a window open instead of it just being flat out to that point. But I agree with you guys on the Boba Shett thing, that there's more smoke than fire to that situation, along with some of these other things.
It's funny you mentioned John Heyman. Right now on Jay's Twitter, everyone is just shitting on JP Morosi at Fox Sports. Because literally, it's anytime
there's that one. He does the same thing too.
You know what? It's man's got a job to do, right? So it's just, you know, correct. He puts something out, and everyone says, "Oh, like Morosi will post something that's hearing," and everyone just assumes, "Oh, looks like he's going to get it." You know, he puts something out on Boba Shett. Oh, looks like JP's got a hit coming up on Toronto Airwaves. Got a hit coming out on Chicago Airwaves. You know what, folks? Just take a breath. Wait till something actually happened before you can lose your marbles.
Get all in.
That's asking too much, really.
No, way too much.
So on that note, though, before I let Ken's little video here play on his thoughts on Shohei Ohtani for us to chit chat on, if you're sitting in the manager's chair right now, if you have Atkins's job, are you trading any of this core to try and flip the script a little bit here? We talked a minute ago, and we subtly hinted at that trade that they were proposing on MLB Network today. And this was clearly just one of those stir the pot situations, but it is showing some things that two teams actually were willing to possibly part with. We know the story of what's went on in Queens with the Mets over the last year. We know that Pete Alonso is not currently happy in New York. Are they going to trade him this offseason? And to your point a minute ago with the Boba Shett thing here, Eric, trade good for good. Get Pete Alonso to come to Toronto. Get Vlad to go to the Mets. It solves really not anything terribly different other than the fact that we're getting the veteran guy they need, or the Mets are getting the guy they can possibly build around for years. And then the other part of that was Alek Manoah goes to the Mets and we get Jeff McNeil, which would honestly be a very good move in contrary to that piece. It's on paper not a bad trade, but that is clearly going where I was trying to push this conversation. Are you ready to trade parts of this core to possibly get that flip a la Joe Carter, Roberto Alomar for Tony Fernandez, Fred McGriff, maybe?
I am.
Well,
it's a I'm lot. Not, I know. I just threw a brick at you and said, good freaking luck.
I'm not, but that's because I think with my heart as opposed to my head. With some of these players, like I'm too emotionally attached to these guys to let them go sometimes. Yeah. You know, with Pete Alonso, hey, I would love the polar bear in Toronto, but I don't want to give up Vladdy for that. What I would do, and I'm only saying this because I think the window of opportunity is kind of closed on the Mets and they need to retool a bit. I would just go to the Mets and I'd say, I'd like to introduce you to Cam Eden. I'd like to introduce you to Ricky Tiedemann. I'd like to introduce you to Orelvis and Addison Barger and Parmigiani. Yep. and just present a whole plate and just say, take two and we'll take Alonso in return.
And we'll take the cash maybe. You know, it's one of those things. He's not making a little amount of money at this point. I thought there was another interesting one that honestly I'm shocked that hasn't been more linked to some of the trade rumors and things like that, is the fact that Danny Jansen, when he's healthy, he's proven he's an offensive force along with a good catcher. His contract is actually up after this coming season, boys. So that's a giant Blue Jay free agent if you don't turn around and do some kind of extension here, where the contrary to that is you have Alejandro Kirk, locked up till 2026 and through 2026. So is that something that you're willing to trade Danny Jansen to throw into those kind of a trades that you're talking about there? And I say, why not? You can always find a backup catcher.
I'm the other way. I would keep Jansen over Kirk a million times over, for many reasons. But I think that, you know, I was reading some of the stuff that Jansen was saying about, you know, sort of finally feeling healthy and finally, you know, feeling like he's going to be able to get through an offseason without, you know, without breaking his everything. So, I mean, I don't know. I've been big on Jansen for the last little while. I feel like, you know, when the offense is there and when he's healthy, he's just so absolutely electric, and he runs under the radar so much that it's an interesting one. But I get what you're saying. I mean, Kirk is signed for a while, and you know, what do you do?
Yeah.
Oh, I would hold off. Yeah, I would just, I'm a little worried about Kirk. I mean, I'm worried about all the hitters, and Kirk was one of our core guys that struggled at the plate. Yeah. And I'm not too sure I would want to give up Danny Jansen right now if Kirk's going to be struggling, if we're going to get a repeat performance of that. As Adam Corsair,
I have that guy right here.
as former co-host Adam Corsair would say, I need to see more.
I agree. And to that point, I love Danny Jansen. He's one of the coolest guys I've met. And Alejandro Kirk, I saw him hit literally logs into the wilderness when I was watching him down in West Virginia in Bloomfield. So out of the show we had a few weeks ago with Zach Helton was on the show, retelling some of the stories from when I was down there and when he was part of the affiliated Toronto Blue Jays system. But to that point, I agree. Right now you don't know what you're going to get out of those two, but it wouldn't shock me that one of the two of their names come up in some of these off season rumors and whatnot, and maybe actually a trade, just knowing some of these things that are coming. I will say right now, let's say they trade Kirk. I would say the next move on that hole immediately is that they're going to find a way to re-sign Danny Jansen long-term.
Yes.
And honestly, it might not be a bad time to even do that, because in all reality, he's proven he can do it, but hasn't proven he can do it consistently because he can't stay healthy. It might be a good idea to extend him for an extra year or two and put him on a incentive laden or a put up or shut up extra year or something right now and just call it a day, right?
And build up some catching depth in the minors just in case he gets hurt.
Correct.
Because, I mean, no disrespect to Tyler Heineman, assuming he's a backup catcher, but, you know, we can build from there.
I don't know if the Blue Jays even have a prospect on the top 30 right now that is a catcher. I'm going to have to do some really serious digging. I can't come to mind with a name right now.
No, me either. I can't think of anybody.
We have a lot of middle infielders and third basemen in the lower ends in pitching, but only so many that actually are, you know, sticking out in that equation. There's a lot of, once you get past the top 15, everybody starts looking about the same. Mm-hmm. But to that point, Davis Schneider was barely on those lists too. So you never know what you're going to get when spring training opens.
Yeah.
Total crapshoot.
Correct. And speaking of that guy that deserves a better shot this year too, he can be our everyday second baseman.
I sure hope he can stay, you know, even close to where he was.
Keep it interesting. To your point, get your stash out.
I'll keep it.
Yeah. Just have productive at bats, really. Like, I don't need him to. I don't need Babe Schneider. I just need a guy who just keeps the line moving. Keep the line moving, Schneider.
You need about eight to keep the line moving, guys.
Yeah, like another, and then maybe another one on top of that. Just say a whole nine.
Well, we can have one home run hitter, right?
Yeah. And to that point, though, like as we were talking about here, the other rumors were very in the ballpark of Shohei Ohtani at this point. And like I said, the fact that so many of the teams that are currently also seeking him, the one that keeps coming up a lot is also the Atlanta Braves, which doesn't super make a ton of sense to me outside of the normals with the Dodgers and the Mariners are the other two big ones that keep coming up. If the Braves do pull the trigger on that trade that sounds like it actually is happening with Dylan Cease with White Sox, are they going to want another arm in that rotation? That's a scary rotation already as it sits. What are you going to do with – they got a lot of young guys too. If Ohtani's blocking some of these younger guys from coming up to the majors too, I'm not saying that that's a good problem to have, obviously, but that's a scary lineup if he ends up in Atlanta along with in that rotation. That's very looking like what the Blue Jays have right now for 1 through 4.
But I mean, are we still thinking of Ohtani as a pitcher? Because he's not pitching next year.
Next year he can't be.
No, yeah.
Tommy John. Right? But I would assume that he still wants to be a pitcher, and that's what all the media is still saying at this point. That once he gets healthy, he's not going to just be a DH anymore.
I mean, that's great, but I do you want to really risk it?
I'm assuming that was written into his contract. As the Angels, like he is a two-way player, and if he wants to play both ways, they can't stop him, kind of thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I really don't, because I also think at some point in his career, he's going to get too degraded to the point where he's going to have to do one or the other.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. And I mean, you know, it's not to say that you also can't teach him to play the outfield. I'm sure he's a pretty good outfielder. I'm sure
he actually is a pretty good outfielder.
Throwing 100 miles an hour from the outfield, I think that's good, coach. You know, like if I've got to throw strikes from center field, I think that's okay. But
Blue Jays used to have a very good right fielder that had that. Oh, actually, a couple. Actually, I can name two off the top of my head. Jose Bautista had a gun from right field, and so did Jesse Barfield.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it is what it is. I think that. Ohtani is definitely the most exciting free agent that the league has produced in quite.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards. Sometime, you know, like I feel like we all knew it was going to get here. I appreciate the fact that he's sort of saying, you know, if you talk about me talking to you, I'm not going to consider you anymore. Like I'm that cool, you know? So, I mean, it's kind of fun because like you said, it ends up being fantasy baseball. Like where does he go and how does that impact the way that team is changed? Because they will be dramatically changed for the rest of the time that they are a major league team, or at least the next 10 years.
So before we go diving into that crawl again, do you want me to play the video from Kenny? I have no idea where he went.
Let's see what Kenny's got to say.
This. I wanted to make sure I kind of had the same cold reaction as everybody else on this whole thing to see what our third guy, fourth guy tonight would have been as he's from the beyond of kids, hockey, basketball, whatever practice he's at tonight. So I'm going to play it right now.
Hey there, Blue Jays fans. Ken Alfred here. Just wanted to say hello to you guys. I know I'm kind of coming in and out of some of these episodes. It's just been really crazy here in the Alfred household. We're getting ready for the holidays, which is one of our favorite holidays of the year. So I first want to say thank you to all of the listeners and all the loyal fans of the Jaybird Watching Podcast. You guys are what makes the show as great as it is. You know, we can always count on you guys to really support the community and really show your passion for the Toronto Blue Jays like we all do. So for the hundreds and hundreds of downloads that we've been getting every single episode, I've had literally... You know, I've had dozens upon dozens of people, to ask my opinion on the Ohtani trade for the Toronto Blue Jays. Should we get him? Should we not get him? But my basic idea is that we should try to get him. Like the best two-way player right now in the majors and maybe even in history for all we know. I think the Toronto Blue Jays should really sacrifice some players that we have to get one of the greatest of all time at this point. So if that means we have to give up guys like Espinal, Biggio, I think we might have to make that sacrifice. Give up guys like Kirk, maybe even Bichette. I know that's a hard pill to swallow, but that's something we have to consider. And if we even have to think about it, we have to even maybe potentially offer some prospects as well. Like, I know the top prospect that I'm familiar with right now is by a gentleman named Ed Sprague. What? He's not a Blue Jay anymore? How long? When was he the Jay? When is he with Toronto Blue Jays? 98? He's been gone since 98. Oh. Okay. So, apologies. I thought that was the prospect that I knew about. But if we have to give some prospects, I think we might have to make that sacrifice. So, anyways, guys, I hope I'll see you guys on the next episode. But for those there, Ed Sprague is not a prospect for the current Toronto Blue Jays. So, all right, guys, I'll see you next week. Go Jays, go. Kelly Gruber.
That's who I thought it was.
Yeah, he had to get the Kelly Gruber.
Ed Sprague is living in Ed Sprague has been living in that man's head rent free for almost 30 years because Ed Sprague replaced Kelly Gruber. Right?
Yeah.
Kelly was traded. Ken's a huge Kelly Gruber fan.
You know what, so, Eric, for a second there, I thought you were going to say that Ed Sprague was living in your basement.
No, he's right over there.
Come on,
Ed Sprague, everybody.
Hey, hit one of the biggest home runs in team history. Yep. By the way, we're talking about great right fielders with cannons of an arm. I'm surprised you didn't say Moses Sierra, but that's a whole other.
There it is.
We can get into that another time. But
here's your obscure Blue Jay for the night.
That wins,
put it on the board.
Look,
I was going with a game later. Go ahead.
I would love to have Ohtani in the Blue Jays colors. I'd love that. He's a free agent. Go for it.
Yes.
Come on.
Ken was going actually was one of those things is maybe at some point you can't pay Bo Bichette because you bring Shohei Ohtani in here. But at this point, if you were able to lock in somebody with Ohtani's talents, this is, I think Jason and I nailed this last week. You're bringing in a guy that's not just a premier baseball player. You're bringing in a guy that is now one of the premier athletes in Canada that has a chance to just dominate the media if he wanted to, right? It's a whole different move and a whole different play as far as that kind of a market goes. So it could be very enticing for somebody that wants that kind of like stand to play on.
I'd love that. Sure. And hey, the Blue Jays are owned by a giant media conglomerate. They've got money.
You wouldn't think they would throw a giant brick of money at him and then just advertise the living hell out of him to the point where now Japan, all these places.
Yeah, the marketing is endless. I mean, you get this guy with Gretzky, you get this guy with McDavid, you get this guy with William Nylander, and I mean, you've got a whole different ballgame. I mean, you know, you can start, you know, doing a lot of advertising outside of the GTA, and it would work. You would have a massive amount of appeal from all these different places. And, you know, it is what we talked about.
Right? Eyes on all of our Blue Jays for a very long time.
For a long time.
But you know what? It's funny you bring up marketing because while my heart wants Shohei Ohtani, my head is saying he'd probably go to the Dodgers. Because think about it. Right now, he's in one of the biggest markets of television, movies, we're talking about North, anything, right? The only problem is that he's playing
for America is Hollywood.
Exactly. One of the biggest television markets, one of the most popular places in the world. The only problem is that right now he's playing for the not so sexy LA team. He's not playing for the sexy Dodgers. If he's with the Dodgers, my God, the marketing opportunities, because there's something the Dodgers have, no disrespect to the Angels, but the Dodgers have more cachet. And if he's in Dodger blue, you know, there's going to be all kinds of endorsement deals. There's going to be all kinds of attention. And it's easier to market him in a Dodgers uniform than it is in an Angels uniform.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's not even close. Like, I mean, the Dodgers, you know, they've already even gone down the road of having, you know, some very successful Japanese players and marketing that crazy well. Like, if you've ever been to a Dodgers game, there's actually areas of the Dodgers stores that have jerseys that have the last names written in Japanese characters. Like, I mean, they're ready. They're the most ready for this team. And if the only other place would be if there's a Major League Baseball team in Vancouver, that would be the only place where it would be more apropos for him to go. But
yeah,
it's going to be super interesting.
Seattle's going to have the ducats at the end of the day, man. I really don't. I don't think they have the budget to bring in somebody like them and then still build a team around him. No. I really don't see him going to Seattle. As much as he is a grew up an Ichiro fan, I'll be shocked. I honestly think at the end of the day, the Blue Jays have a better chance of signing him than the Mariners do.
Well, here's a question.
That's saying a lot.
How many Japanese players are on the Mariners and the Dodgers and the Blue Jays? Because apparently one of the things that he's looking for is to see if there's any fellow countrymen on the team that he signs with.
And I thought that was the Yamamoto thing. I didn't know that was a Ohtani thing.
Okay. You might be right.
I'm wondering.
It's probably both.
It might, but to that point, I'm sure he would love to play with fellow countrymen. You know, you saw the time he had playing in the World Baseball Classic with all them. And then striking out his teammate was just epic, by the way.
Jays have two, right? Jays have two.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and it really depends at the end of the day, too, if we bring Ryu back.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got potentially him back, and then you have Kikuchi, and who's they obviously have the few Japanese gentlemen in the, you know, dugout and whatnot all the time. But why am I blanking on the other person? I know we have somebody in our
Kikuchi
Japanese too.
Oh, in the minors?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was somebody else that went to the World Baseball Classic, but I don't know if he stuck with the team or not.
I don't think he did.
I wanted to say he was in the minors still, but I don't know. I had to look, I guess. But to your point, never know, right?
No.
So I don't think anybody else on any of those other teams has more than one or two Japanese players on it. There's only so many Japanese players.
They could bring Kawasaki back.
Oh, come on. I'm surprised he's not just like the team mascot. Monkeys don't cramp, man. You know, imagine him. Yeah, monkeys don't cramp. You imagine him in an AC uniform. He wouldn't even, you know, don't even need the head, just run around and be like,
it's awesome.
It'd be hilarious.
Craig, you might have been thinking about Gosuke Kato.
That's who I was thinking of. Yeah. That's exactly. I thought he stuck with the minors for a while last year, but he didn't.
Yeah, and he played overseas.
I think he got released.
Yeah, he played over. The Mets picked him up in 2022, and I think he played overseas this year. I was actually disappointed because I thought he was going to be the next John McDonald for this team in terms of
how, or at least he manured Kawasaki.
Yeah.
So, but no, I really liked Katoa. I thought he had the stuff to stick in the majors, and if he went back to Japan, play another couple of years, and come back, I think he could do it. I really do. I liked his swing. I thought he could find a way to be that slap hitter that most teams just need. You need somebody to get on base. He spelled that guy, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And no, the Jays have a good history of Japanese players with Kawasaki and Tomooka was on the team. I remember Nori Okoi. But yeah, I think right now it's just, and Sean Yamaguchi. That was another one.
Yeah.
And maybe not, but so there is a history. There is a history. Which
it was Ohtani a very 50-50 with Yamaguchi.
Well, yeah, I mean, but still. I mean, and then again, the Dodgers had Hedonomo, who was the hottest ticket in 1995. So, but still, yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens. That's the major domino this year.
Do I want to make this joke? Because the last time I heard the name Hideo Nomo, does anybody want to take a wild guess when I made a 90s movie reference earlier?
Is it, what's the one with?
When was the last time that you two gentlemen watched Liar Liar?
Oh, is he in that?
Oh, God.
It's a the good movie. Whole ploy of I gotta go hang out with my kid today.
Oh,
he's a Hideo Nomo. I'm Jose Canseco. Like dragging him off.
Yeah,
it's probably the last time I've heard a Hideo Nomo reference in a while.
And the last time he has.
Yeah. To that point, it was Fernando Mania all over again.
Yeah,
there's no other way of saying it.
And Ohtani would be the same there as he would be for Canada. He would be correct. LA. He would be like, I mean, there's no LA King star that is that. There isn't even Kershaw sort of was for a while, but he is too granola. Blah, you know, like he's a nice guy and he does awesome stuff, whatever. Has a great
What athlete is taking Canada by storm on that kind of a level since like a Wayne Gretzky kind
right
of
now?
Player?
Nobody. I mean,
I know there's
Connor McDavid is an absolute zero. you know, Austin Matthews is American, so you can't even, you know, you can't use him. Nylander, I mean, you maybe, you know, I mean,
playing for a Canadian team, I would assume that you're those gentlemen that you just laid out, though. Those are the kind of guys, like you said, they're not Canadians. This is this situation. Otani wouldn't be a Canadian either, but
right.
You are bringing a guy into Canada sports that has a chance to dominate the landscape.
I can't think of anybody.
Yeah. Scotty Barnes is a name that comes up in my
head. Yeah, Scotty Barnes. I'd give you Scotty Barnes. Yeah.
Scotty Barnes. My biggest problem is the fact that Connor McDavid is just too much like freaking Sidney Crosby to me, and he whines.
Oh, no, it's not even that, man. He is just a bucket of paste. He is the biggest zero, and people wonder why the Oilers are as bad as they are this year. They have no heart. Zero heart.
Yeah.
And you need heart
to win. Which gets you a lot of places.
Holy hustle man. And heart. Yeah, hustle and heart. And,
hustle
and
heart. You know, out of 2010.
Your two best players are dead fish, Draisaitl and McDavid. Terrible. Anyways, I digress. I'm glad that, and I'm not a Leafs fan, you know, not even close, but I'm glad that at least they've given Mitch Marner more of a run and allowed him to become the actual captain of that team so John Tavares can do something else and still wear the C. But it has helped them massively, massively.
Yeah. I won't go too much into hockey, says the guy that's wearing Buffalo Sabres Zuas right now.
Yeah. And I mean, going back to Otani in LA, we're talking about him being the guy. There's LeBron James, though.
Oh, right.
Could Otani
outside LeBron? That market's saturated with stars, right? Well, even if look at the Rams, you got Cooper Kupp and all those guys that just won a Super Bowl not even a year, barely over a year ago. You know,
I don't know.
So there's.
But are they in Space Jam? Did they remake Space Jam? No.
No. But Otani could make his own Space Jam, a Japanese Space Jam.
Baseball Jam, man.
Yeah, Baseball Jam.
But you know what? You bring up a good point. One of the reasons why I feel baseball struggles to have a presence is because they don't promote their best players as superstars. The NBA is so popular around the world because the athletes, the top athletes, the Currys, the LeBron James, they're made to be larger than life. And it just boggles my mind how Major League Baseball, you have three studs in Aaron Judge and Otani and Mike Trout. And I don't understand how they're not being – they should be larger than life. They should be doing Coke ads and Gatorade and
see them anywhere.
Nike.
Yeah.
Where?
Like, especially Judge. As much as I hate the Yankees – The pinstripes mean something. The pinstripes have cachet. And how he's not, you know, doing ads for Nike and all kinds of endorsements and hosting Saturday Night Live and doing all these things, going out on the main street, you know, appearing on Raw or SmackDown. His main
sponsor's
right?
New Balance, for Christ's sake.
Right?
I'm just saying, but you're thinking of like, Shohei Ohtani does New Balance.
Yeah, but
here in the States, he is all over New Balance.
That was Kawhi as well. Campaign.
But that's it.
When Kawhi hit that shot and after they won, that propelled New Balance to a different level. When he was doing all those ads with I can't remember what it was. It was the silent guy or something like that. It was some sort of thing about the fact. Yeah, some sort of thing about the fact he doesn't talk. So, I mean, Eric, you are so dead on right. And why do you guys remember like back in the day when they had like the corny Nike hockey commercials and like the even cornier like baseball ones, like the ones where Glavin and are trying to work out like the guys that are hitting home runs and
stick the long ball.
It's where has that gone? Like, why
my
is it only the NBA?
My personal favorite was David Cohn in the club trying to do his own dance.
Yeah.
The El Duque. Great.
Yeah.
My favorite baseball commercial proxy thing of all time is there's this one that was for like right guard deodorant. And it had Jim Brewer as like the announcer, the comedian Jim Brewer is shouting at it and goes, "This right here over here is odorant." It's just a bunch of guys lined up in a gym. And he goes, "And this guy right here is representing the right the guard strip or whatever the hell it was called." And it was Randy Johnson.
Yes,
and he's
sir.
Just throwing the dodgeballs a bajillion miles an hour at these guys and just killing them. You don't see anything like that anymore.
No.
I don't think is everything gotten that serious that you can't have fun with a dodgeball commercial anymore, or to your point, just a weird, awkward dancing thing in a club or
Yeah.
You can't even get cross Christopher Walken dancing in a music video anymore, for Christ's sake. You know, it's just
you know, they talk about let the kids play, but they're not letting the kids play.
No.
You need to have some
Is Ronald Acuña not the biggest thing in advertising right now? The guy did something that no major league baseball player has ever done this past season with as many home runs and stolen bases that he had. It's never happened.
I don't know. It escapes me. The whole thing escapes me. Like even the fact that, like, when you look at the commercials that they do get Vladdy and Springer, and like some of them are campy enough that you're like, oh, that's kind of fun. But after a bit, you're like, okay, this is getting a little stupid. Even
it seems forced.
Where it's just like, oh, you know, I'm really sure that George Springer is sitting in the crowd eating 17 pieces of chicken, you know, at any time in his life.
Meanwhile, Shohei Ohtani is going to sell a shit ton of Dodger dogs or Schneider's hot dogs this year if he goes.
Or imagine when they introduce the big Japanese, you know, food part at any of the stadiums, and it's all Ohtani bombs and, you know, all kinds of. I could be in marketing right now for the Dodgers. Get them on the payroll.
Yeah, we're on this right now. Yeah, here's the think tank, Dodgers and Blue Jays fans. If you need stupid ideas for your commercials, we will make sure it's fun, and we'll you know, like you said, the kids will play again. So, Eric, is there anything you wanted to bring up from your avenue here before I'm going to let you give your 5 minutes, your shameless self promoting bit here in a minute before I? But I got a little stupid game I want to actually play here before. But I want you to have a last minute here to throw anything you want in on any of the previous talks.
I guess just a couple of things. First of all, shout out to John Gibbons, the new bench coach for the Mets. I hope he continues his podcast because they've been really good episodes. He had a great chat with Country Joe West, and he had a really phenomenal chat. Him and John Arizzi, who's the co-host, they had a really amazing chat with Steve Phillips, who talked about being the GM of the Mets during 9/11, which was an incredible chat. So we'll see what happens there, and good for him. Good
my
for
Gibby. Favorite good one. Back. My favorite one that he did recently actually is he had Geddy Lee of Rush on recently, and Geddy Lee, in all the wonderfulness that is him, was just as pissed about Jose Barrios being taken out as we.
Yeah, he said, Geddy didn't pull any punches, nor should he, nor should we. Really, it was a brutal tactical error. Brutal. Yes. And I just also want to just give a shout out to baseball fans in Oakland. That sucks, man. It sucks. There's no other way to put it. I mean, these poor sports fans in Oakland, they've lost the Raiders, and the Warriors moved to San Francisco. And now the A's are about to play pretty much their final season in Oakland. And it's ironic because this Athletics team has moved like three times before. They have a history of this, but I got to say, I'm really sad about it because there was a time when I was a kid and you know, you guys are around the same age I am. Oakland was the king. Oakland, the Athletics were the kings of the AL West. And it's only in the last maybe 25 years that they kind of became this you know, small market, you know, they raised players and then they got to get rid of this whole thing. Yeah. But like, you know, there was a time when Oakland was scared the crap out of you, and their histories and the Jays history always cross paths. So it's exciting that Major League Baseball is getting into Las Vegas, but you know, it's shitty. It's a shitty deal for Oakland fans.
It's a bad rub one way or the other, right?
I feel like, you know, like Eric and I talked about this a little bit last week. Like, I mean, with anything, you have to go. Like what they're seeing right now in Winnipeg with hockey is, I mean, they were dying for the Jets to come back. It was the greatest thing to ever happen to them. And yet, you know, after a couple of years, you know, the shine wears off and no longer is it the cool thing to go to a Jets game. So then what you run into is you run into a stadium with a couple of thousand people in it. And, you know, you can no longer have an NHL hockey team there. So they've eaten their young on that. And you get to a point where you're like, okay, well, you know, it was bad in Oakland. And I've been there. I was just there like a year and
it's
a half.
It's a rough ballpark.
That stadium is awful. And, you know, like there's parts of it I didn't feel comfortable having the boys. And you're like, this is a professional baseball stadium. Like I'm actually a little taken aback. And, you know, the, as we're leaving, the parking lot attendant is like, don't turn right. And we're like, okay, you know, I got that.
I remember that same attendant.
You know, and you're like, oh, okay, I get you, buddy. But at least, you know, at least, you know, that. And I agree with you. It sucks that they keep losing, but you know, stick with your team, stick with the guys and, you know, don't just cheer when it gets down to the very last yeah. second. But you know, great uniforms, some of the best. Love that green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something cool about that green and mixed with yeah. the yellow like that.
I'm hoping that point, they don't lose
those
that.
Few years you were talking about, Eric, they had some of the, so many should be, could be, and actual Hall of Famers on yeah, those teams.
The studs, absolute studs.
Oh,
Canseco,
yeah,
McGuire, monsters. Eckersley. Holy Jesus.
Not to mention all the starters that were on that team and everything else like that. There was a reason they were perennial playoff winners. And yeah. the reason they were always in our way there until the Roberto Alomar home run that finally flipped the script. So,
yeah,
good deal. It's... So, go ahead. You had a lot of stuff.
One other thing is just I forgot to mention that Gibby is now going to be reunited with J.P. Arencibia. Who's I think he's still unless I'm mistaken, Arencibia is still with the Syracuse Mets right now. So a couple former Blue Jays there in the Mets system. So you'll love to see.
Depending on what else is going on, maybe that's one of those things that becomes a reunion at the major league level. You know how these mm-hmm. things are once things happen, especially when a new coach, manager, everybody moves along and certain things start moving around, pieces get added, and everything. That's how we got Don Mattingly in our dugout last year,
yep.
right? Yeah. So. Is what it is. So it'll be good yeah. to see him get me back in a, you know, as a bench coach in the major leagues is I believe what he got hired to be, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So good deal. So I want to play a stupid history free agent question right now. If you could pick a Toronto Blue Jay from days of yesterday, who would you like to bring in to possibly fix any of so-called problems with the current Toronto Blue Jays? Maybe don't shoot, give me that guy that's the obvious choice, and maybe shoot for a mid-tier guy that would be very, very helpful to this current Blue Jays roster from Blue Jays history.
Okay,
first
name that popped in my head was Dave Winfield.
I thought you were going to go Ed Sprague.
The ghost of Ken speaks.
Dave Winfield would be a hell of a swing in this.
He would be. Molitor as well.
Yeah, I love Paul Molitor.
Just thinking like anyone that's played for the Jays, right?
Yeah, anybody you want. I just figured it'd be fun to toss some names around with our current roster and see who could really fill out some of these things with, like, you know, kind of like you're doing your fantasy baseball history kind of thing right now.
Right. Cliff Johnson. He was a slugger before my time, but he was a pretty good slugger.
Rance Mullinix.
Yeah.
It'd be a fun one, especially paired up. So the stupid podcast name we did, I told the guys at the walk-off when I went to their little thing, I'm like, one of the stupid handshakes we've always had amongst the podcasters is pick two Blue Jays people and name the podcast they do together.
After they do, yeah.
I said Davis Schneider, Rance Mullinix, and call it nothing but up the middle, and had the stash kind of going like. So, Jason, you got any?
Well, I was going to say Ryan Goins, but I don't know that there's a few guys. Tony Fernandez, love to see Tony Fernandez yeah. come back, but I mean, he doesn't.
How about Delgado?
He doesn't fix anything for us.
Delgado would be a fun one matched up with Vlad
yeah.
right now.
Yeah,
they could rotate first base and DH.
But yeah, they could. Yeah.
Which is kind of why I would love Pete Alonso.
yeah, it is.
I don't know. There's so many. I mean, when you start to dig down into what the Jays have had, there's so many just amazing characters and great guys and ones that had you been able to bring them back in their prime, Roger Clemens, you know.
I loved what Clemens pitched for the Jays. Yeah.
There's lots of guys that I would love to just watch one more time, like just be able to say, all right, you know, you got, here's your superpower. This is you back as a kid again, or, you know, whenever you were at your peak and let's just have at her. There's so many, but I mean, you could do that tale with any team, right? Like, I mean, some of them would be
the one that came to mind to me the most when I was thinking about asking this to you guys was Devon White would really yeah. round out.
And he's there. He's at Buffalo.
And that's the funnier part. He's there. I love the fact that Devon White's still 6 degrees from this team.
Any part of WAMCO.
Yeah.
And if we could even put Henderson there, WAMCO.
Oh, and Ricky Henderson. Whammy.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? No, why not?
I still think the Blue Jays are that outfielder away right now. And that's the reason that a couple of those other names that you mentioned, even just bringing somebody back like Sean Green would move the outfield in the right direction. And I loved watching Sean Green. And we unfortunately didn't get the best of him as Blue Jays fans. He started peaking. He was going there and then gone.
Yeah. Thanks, Interbrew. So. Not putting money in the team. Okay. And Gordash.
There it is.
Those
or just putting it all in Roger Clemens's pockets is basically what happened, correct?
I loved it. I loved when he was here. I mean, listen, okay, yes, Rogers may not be a person of good character, but in 1997, I'm 13 years old, and one of the premier all-stars has chosen my favorite team to play for. That's a big deal.
That was exciting.
A big deal. Yeah.
Well, and then just think of that rotation. If you could have put the primes of all those guys back together, you had that rotation had Roger Clemens, a prime Pat Hankin, Chris Carpenter for a little while, Calvin Escobar.
And Dave Steep was making a comeback back then.
Yeah,
Dave Steep was making a comeback. So imagine if he was at his best. Holy Jesus.
Then you had some really good relievers in those years too that went to waste. I named Billy Koch. Went to Oakland and was on that team.
Billy Koch was always one of my favorites. I loved that guy. He just an unbelievable character guy. And you know, it was interesting when there was, you know, he was in Moneyball, you know, and you're like, oh, there's Billy right there. You know, like it was.
Throws his glove.
Yeah.
There was a lot of random Blue Jays in that, including our current owner, or not owner, our current president. As the villain of the Cleveland Indians, if anybody remembers, to put that one out there.
And the sad thing about Billy Koch is that he was a fireballer, but then the league caught up with him and he could never get past it. Yeah.
Yep.
Never had the extra gas.
He lost a little of the move in the midst of that too. It straightened up on him after a few years. So anybody can hit straight heat. You can't hit straight crazy apparently. Right.
Yeah.
That was Roy Halladay's problem. There's another name that would be amazing to have on any team at that matter. That was Roy Halladay's first parts of his career. Threw the ball too damn straight.
Yep. And then thought about it too much.
Yep.
There is that. Yep. And we all know the work ethic that was with that gentleman too. But at the end of the day, it paid off for him in spades. Unfortunately, God rest his soul that, you know. But at the end of the day, there is a lot of guys that could be in Blue Jay history. And if anybody's listening and wants to comment on this, make sure you join this little game here with us in the Twitter feed afterwards. We'd love to see some of these names and bring up some names of yesteryear in this, and in disguise of who could help this team currently right now, get us to 100 wins.
If you're going to do it, we want to hear why too, you know, like, don't just tell us who, tell us why, you know, like these can be great conversation pieces, not only for you, but for us and just, you know, it creates a real neat, you know, it's what our off season is, right?
Yeah.
Bingo.
And hey, if people want to throw out names like Willie Cañate and Darnell Coles, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Love them. Yeah. Ride the trenches.
Yep.
So anyway, Eric, I want to wrap the show up because we're a little over the hour already. This is your shameless self-promoting bit. Tell the Blue Jays fans where they could find you in case they somehow reason don't know already how to.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. It's at the heck, THEHEK. My blog is called Definitely Not Jays Talk, dnjt.wordpress.com. My most recent article was about these dreams and visions I was having of Joey Votto wearing a Blue Jays uniform. And they were recurring and they wouldn't stop, so I had to write about it. And hopefully this Friday, I'm going to come out with an article about the Hall of Fame ballot. Around this time of year, guys, I really like to do some role playing. And I like to pretend to be a BBWAA writer. And the only thing is, when I vote, vote in quotes, I basically go on thoughts, feelings, emotions, bias, and a little bit of baseball reference. And I kind of set my own rules. If I know that you're only put allowed to do 10, but hell, if I think 20 of those guys need to go in, they're going to go in. God damn it. So
yeah, and, bleed all over with a red pen and say, you're going to get in there. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
There's a certain first time player who's appearing on the ballot for the very first time, used to play right field. And oh, God damn it. Like, my heart wants him in that Cooper in Cooperstown. I know, you know, my head says
an argument might not happen. I really do.
He'll definitely get into St. Mary's at the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame, but I'm going to cross every finger and toe I have for Cooperstown.
Yeah, I'm just going to point one name out to you here and why Jose Bautista should make the Baseball Hall of Fame. Harold Baines.
Well, that might be what it takes. Listen, yeah, there's
might be.
This Sunday, it's the other committees. It's the player committees. It's the veteran committees. Yep. This Sunday, Cito Gaston might be elected, and I'm crossing my fingers and toes for that as well.
I unfortunately think that he's going to suffer from the fact that there's a lot of names on that ballot that are Hall of Famers. I don't know how many.
Yeah, it's a
and to that point, I'm hoping that he does because he deserves it all day. And you talk about a guy with extended good, you know, same thing with Jose Bautista. The window of dominance was amazing, and I think that's what you really need to take that metric on. So that the fact that I believe that Cito is actually the first African American coach to win a World Series,
yep,
or manager to win a World Series.
Yeah, yeah.
I visited Cooperstown in 2012, and in the museum they have a section dedicated to African American contributions to baseball, and there is a picture and I hope it's still there, where they acknowledge that Cito was the first manager, the first black manager to win the World Series. So even if he's not elected, he's still in Cooperstown. There is a space dedicated to him.
Yeah.
And then you talk about baseball lifer. The guy was roommates with like Hank Aaron, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
You know, you can't witness on that.
He could tell stories.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So
all right, boys.
Very, very cool stuff. Anything to add real quick before I wrap it up?
Nothing for me.
Nothing. Just right. Thank you. So, guys, thank you for bumping up the time for me and my schedule, and had a blast.
We're glad to have you as always, Eric. So one way or the other, we'll keep figuring this out. So on that note, Blue Jays fans, make sure you tune in every Monday evening, normally at 7 o'clock, unless we have some little caveat because of our guest here, our Eric. So make sure you join us live. Thank you, everybody that did chime in on the fact that the Blue Jays need to keep Bo Bichette one way or the other in the comments today. Thank you, Mikey Bananas, for literally repeatedly just saying that 1,000 times.
Thanks, Mikey.
In the chat. So maybe Savannah Bananas fame. I have no idea, but to that point, banana fan. Anyways, Toronto Blue Jays, we're here to talk all off season. We are not going anywhere. We'll be here every Monday evening. And if you miss us on the live shows on Monday evenings, make sure you catch us on YouTube or wherever you can get your podcasting pleasures for. We are there here, the official Toronto Blue Jays podcast at jaysjournal.com, part of FanSided. And guys, it's that time of the evening, even though it's, you know, post almost WrestleMania time going here at this point. We're going to do two claps and a Ric Flair. 1, 2.
Woo!
Woo! Let's go, Blue Jays.
Ed Sprague.
Thank you for listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at Birdwatching GC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/birdwatchinggc. Go Jays, go.
Woo!
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.